Evening, everyone. I'm Louise. I'm an addict. Now, for those of you who are regulars at this meeting, you might think, didn't she just do this a few weeks ago? And somebody just said to me, oh, it's like you've got like a regular slot here. And it is true, I did do this a few weeks ago, and I have spoken here quite a few times. What happened was, earlier on this week, the girl who does the female cheer finding phoned me up in a bit of a flap and said, and asked me if I would come tonight and do the 15-minute cheer. She'd asked a few people, and they had been reluctant to come and share before Mickey. Took this personally, Mickey. And I was like, but why? I don't understand. I think it's an honour. And I said, of course I will. And although I'm very nervous because there's a fucking lot of people here tonight, I probably feel under less pressure to deliver the goods than I have in any other cheer, because I'm a real admirer of yours, Mickey. And you know, sometimes when you do cheers and you know you're the only speaker there, and I feel that it is incumbent upon me to make it as clear as I can to the newcomer who's in the room what I believe is wrong with us and what you need to do about that. And I can remember doing a cheer once and going through all my kind of shtick about my story and then forgetting to mention the literature at all. Never mentioned it once. Something that's been absolutely crucial to me, forgot to mention that in my cheer at all. And so tonight I feel under less pressure than ever, because I know that if I forget to say anything or I'm not describing things very well, then I'm being followed by one of the best speakers in the business. And so I don't need to worry about what I say. I can say what the fuck I like. So that's good, isn't it?
No pressure.
No pressure. And it's funny, you know, there's something about these kind of... I listen to speakers quite a bit. There's a speaker website that I go and listen to. And there's some very prolific, well-known speakers who travel around the world and speak in some way that Mickey does, and there's others that do it as well. And I really admire them. I've had a lot of good information off them. But I think that they would be the first people to tell you that they're just geezers. They're just people like the rest of us. Mickey's just another addict who needs a power greater than himself, the same as me, same as you. And yet they get treated like these sort of superstar celebrities. It's a bit weird. But I've got a story to tell you. I met this guy a couple of years ago. A guy came over from the States to speak, and I met him. And after he went back to the States, we became kind of email pals, right? And I don't hear from him for a few weeks, and then every kind of couple of months or so, we'll exchange like a load of emails and over a couple of days. And I've had lots of good information off him, and it's been, you know, quite a nice kind of relationship to have. And that's been going on for a couple of years. And a few months ago, a friend of his, somebody's been in recovery for a long time, one of those sort of spiritual guru types, was coming over to London to speak. He asked me if I would meet up with him when he came over to London and show him the sights and kind of just be hospitable to him. I was like, no problem at all. Give him my email address. So he gave him my email address, and I started exchanging emails with this guy, right? And I said, well, I'll organise some sightseeing or something. And then I got an email one day that arrived, and I opened it up, and it was like soft porn that he'd sent me. So, you know, you try and, you know, laugh these things off, or I do anyway. I don't want to shame anyone or humiliate anyone. You just kind of, you know, it's made a mistake, so I laugh it off. So I said something like, oh, you seem to be a bit full of energy there. Perhaps you need to go down to the gym and work some of that off or something. And then he came back with me, which was one of the best lines a bloke has ever given me, which was, don't be so resistant. I'm only trying to enliven your thought life. Great. Enliven your thought life. I sent him an email back. I said, oh, is that what you're trying to do? Stiffed on me. I thought you were sending me filth over the internet. Anyway, it's just, I'm not suggesting that everybody in the room is anything like that, but these guys, you know, they're just people, the same as the rest of us. So sure, they've all got defects they'd like to be rid of, just like I like to be rid of some of mine. So it's quite fortuitous that I get asked to speak tonight, because this weekend is my clean time birthday. I'm 3 years clean this week. No. Okay. you. And I couldn't have done it without you. And I thought it might be quite nice to just reflect briefly on what I've done in 3 years with your help. It's interesting because I was clean for a while in the 90s, I was clean for about 5 years in the 90s, and then when I relapsed for about 3 years. And in those 3 years, what I managed to accomplish was I managed to get homeless, I managed to get really seriously underweight and ill, I managed to lose custody of my children, who then went on to be adopted. I managed to alienate my family and hurt anyone who cared about me. I managed to lose my job and become unemployable. And I managed to end up in and out of prison and be in a kind of state of total isolation. I was quite happy using, if the only person I spoke to every day was my dealer and the conversation went like, have you got X? Yes, I do. Okay, I'll meet you in 5 minutes. That was really the only conversation that I needed to have each day. And and I suppose I felt like, I was going to say I felt suicidal, but I wasn't really interested in living and I wasn't really interested in dying, and I didn't really sit and consider that though. What I did was, when my eyes opened in the morning, I thought, how long have I got before I get sick? How much money have I got? Where am I going to go today to make my money? And how am I going to do that? And it wasn't a case of me waking up in the morning thinking, maybe I'll use today, maybe I won't use today. It was, I was driven like a drug-taking machine. That's what I achieve under my own steam. And 3 years ago, I was in prison and had been detoxed. I've never managed to detox in a kind of detox where you're not locked up. I have to be removed and somebody has to intervene. And I detoxed and I came out after deciding, well, that I would give recovery another go, because having been in recovery before, I knew that there were people who were clean in NA, and I wanted to come back to NA and find out kind of what I'd done wrong, where I'd screwed up, because I didn't come to NA the first time wanting to make a mess of it. And in the 3 years since I've been clean, what I've done is, I didn't go into treatment, by the way, and just for anybody who's thinking, I can't get clean because I can't get into detox, or I can't get into treatment, I didn't do any of that. I just came to a meeting, and I haven't used since. And what I did was, I did what people told me to do, and I listened, and I asked people who had been clean for a while how it was that they did that. And not just people who've been clean, but if you use your ears and your eyes, you can look around and see people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. Not just those who are not using, there's a difference. And I went to the people who clearly had found a new way of life and asked them how they did that, and then did it myself. And so today, I was hoping to come here today and say, oh, it's been my first payday today, but actually it's not until next Tuesday. I'm a bit upset about that. I thought it was the last Friday in the month, but it turns out it's not until next week. You know, not everything has fallen into place. It's not like I got clean and I got my children back and my mum's speaking to me again and I've got this, you know, I'm in a, got a lovely flat and all that. That hasn't happened, right? My children are adopted and always will be, but I got through my first Christmas clean without my children. I got through Mother's Day clean without my children. And I never actually entered my head to use. And I was carried by people in this room. I have people in this room who I've phoned up in bits and they've dropped everything to come and help me and just be with me and carry me when I couldn't carry myself. I've had that loads of times in the last 3 years. I went to university. I've done a degree. Got a degree. Amazing, really. Got a degree. you know, how did that happen? I only said out loud one day that I think I might quite like to be a journalist, and I've got a degree, and I've been spent a couple of years working for a national newspaper. It's amazing stuff. Just extraordinary. And now I've got a proper full-time job, so that I can look people in the eye and say, yeah, I'm a journalist, and not feel like I'm lying. I've actually done that. You know, that's what I would do, a proper paid money to do proper job. I'm employable. They think I'm really capable, you know. You know, a couple of years ago, they wouldn't have let me in the building. And other stuff I've done, I've got housing problems, and that hasn't come together for me. And I've had, you know, my mother and my family still doesn't speak to me. But again, all the kind of problems that that has caused, it hasn't entered my head to use. I've also helped, I don't know how many people, I've done a bit of service in the last couple of years. I spent a year going in and out of detoxes and taking meetings in there. And one of the best things about NA is you go into a detox and you don't know who's going to listen to you, who's going to not. You don't know what's going to happen. You just have to go in and do your shtick and hope for the best and leave it up to God. And then, you know, a couple of months later, you might come into a meeting and somebody will come in and be that far away from your face and say, well, I'm here. You know, you told me I should come and here I am. And there's just nothing better than that feeling of having done something useful and that somebody else might get a chance to have some freedom, sort of freedom that I've got. You know, I don't wake up in the morning anymore and think, how long have I got till I get sick? I don't think like that. I think, right, what have I got to do today? And get up and get on with it. I don't walk down the street thinking, is that the police? Have I got any warrants? Am I going to be nicked in a minute? I've gone through the steps, and for all the people who are actually available to me now to make direct amends to, I've done that. There's not a person in the world that I'm not straight with now. I can look the world in the eye, which I couldn't do before. I wouldn't have done any of that if it hadn't been for NA. I couldn't get a day clean without NA. And I'm feeling very, very grateful because, you know, that reading that we have, that We Do Recover one, and it's a bit kind of dramatic, and it says, never before in the entire history of the human race. You know, it's a bit like you read it in that sort of accent. But, you know, 50 years ago, couldn't have done this because you wouldn't have been here. You'd have been out using too, and we'd all have been stuffed. And I'd sit around here and look at us all, and we're all right, and we're all, do you know what I mean? We're all right. So I'm going to leave all the kind of rest of it to Mickey. I really admire Mickey, and I also know that you've had not the best treatment of NA in the UK, Mickey. You know, I know that happened. I acknowledge that, and I was actually the person that put you up for that speaking gig. And you know, I don't know if you've ever received an apology for that, but from me, I want to say I'm really sorry that that stuff happened to you, and it was pretty shabby. So that's kind of where I was and where I am now. It's not been much of a nuts and bolts information kind of shit. It's just kind of about me and where I've come from and what I've done now. But I just want you to know that this stuff hasn't happened to me because I came to meetings and sat and did nothing. I didn't just come and sit in meetings and it happened. I've had to do a lot of work. I've had to do stuff that I didn't particularly want to do. I've had to read the book and do what it said, really. There you go. It's that, in that simple format. I think I'll leave it there. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much, Louise.